You are redeemed. Hallelujah. Well, turn with me, if you would please, to a familiar story and passage of Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. We're going to be talking about today a neighbor in labor. A neighbor in labor. It's not the labor that you're thinking, maybe. But here, you know, we have a story of a man, a lawyer, someone in that knows the scriptures, in verse number 25, that comes to Jesus for a couple of different reasons. Probably not the one he thought, but he says in verse number 25, it says, "Behold, a certain lawyer stood up, tempted him." That was the main reason he showed up, saying, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said unto him, "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" Because he knew, Jesus knew he was a lawyer. He should have known the scriptures, and he should have the answer already. So he gives him the answer. That's a good answer in verse 27. And he answered and said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." And he said unto him, "Thou hast answered right. Do this, do, and thou shalt live." But he, willing to justify himself, saith unto Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" This lawyer came tempting Jesus to try to trick him and show Jesus that he knew the scriptures better than Jesus did, which is impossible. But he didn't know that. And then once he gives an answer saying, "Just all you have to do is live by what you just told me," he wanted to justify himself and make himself look good. And Jesus knows everyone's heart. He knows what people are thinking in and how they feel in your heart. And he knows this lawyer and those that stand around. So he tells him in verse number 30. And Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he had saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was called, was at that at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds and pouring in oil and wine and set him on his own beast and brought him to the inn, to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when they departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee.' And which of now these, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He that showeth mercy on him." And then Jesus said to him, "Go and do thou likewise." So Jesus was teaching him a lesson of how he needs to live his life. If he wants to live his life the right way, he needs to be a neighbor that labors. And the first character we see here that Jesus mentions is this man. And this man in verse number 30 is no one special. He's not given a name. He's not very important. It just says that a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. That it was just an ordinary, everyday person that no one would have gave special attention to. You know, when you see somebody in need that is just ordinary, some of us may want to stop and help them. Some of them may think, well, they'll find help. Somebody else will help them. But if you see somebody that's important or famous or something, I'm not going to even mention anybody, but you know who you know who it might be in your own life, and you saw them that they needed something, maybe you would rush over there and help them because of who they are. But in this particular case, this was no one special. It was just somebody that went from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among the thieves. And he was left half dead. That means he was about to die. He needed help, and he needed help fast. So this first person, this first character, shows us that it could be anybody that needs assistance and help. It doesn't matter who they are, what their background is, where they've come from, how much money they have or don't have, what their lifestyle is, what their beliefs are. He didn't go up to them, you know, if it had been a fundamental independent Baptist, if that guy would have showed up, he would have said, hey, I'd love to help you, but you got to tell me what version of the Bible do you read? Okay, and then and when you're in church, what kind of music do y'all listen to? And then when y'all have a pulpit, is it made of wood or is it made of is it clear plastic? Yeah, and you have shoes that are, you know, pointed toe shoes or is it flat? You know, do you wear sandals or not? We have to go through the whole list before we help them out, because if they don't meet every criteria, forget it. We don't have to help them. But Jesus does it differently. He'll help anybody at any time. He's not a respected person. And he, and this man here, we see him, he's just an ordinary man that fell among the thieves, had something treacherous happen to him, bad happen to him, and he was left for half dead. That means he was half alive as well. So in the story here, we see this second character show up. That's this priest in verse 31. And by chance, you know, I'm telling you right now, when you meet somebody in this kind of conditions, it's never by chance. God brings it for a particular reason. And so, but by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he saw his condition. He saw this man's condition. He saw what was going on to him. He saw what happened. And yet, what's it say about him? He saw him and passed by on the other side. Not only did he pass by, he purposely went around the problem so he wouldn't have to deal with it at all. No, he didn't just say, oh man, he looks bad. Somebody's get off my leg. Somebody's going to help you. No, he made sure he was completely cleared from that problem. He didn't want to have anything to do with that man or his problem. He was like, oh, look, I'm a priest. If you need my help, you'll come to me, but I'm not coming to you. I'm not going to go to you and help you out, and especially in your condition. I'm not getting that stuff all over me. I don't have time for this. I don't have the ability to do this. I don't have the power to do this. He was a priest that was, in this day and age, the religious leaders that are accountable for the people. They were to teach the people. They're supposed to be an example to the people. But he avoided the real problem, which was the person. You know, some people say, you know, the church would be great, or ministry would be great, or, you know, all that would be great if it wasn't for people. You know, if it wasn't any people, then you wouldn't have any problems, and, you know, I'd love to go back to church. But we're all people. We all have problems. It don't matter what we look like on the outside. We all got problems. We all have some kind of past. We all have something that needs to be dealt with. And the priest there, this priest was just completely avoiding that problem and that person. He was more interested probably in his own life. Maybe he was late for a meeting or a scheduled appointment, or he had to go get the money from the exchangers or the synagogue or something. Or maybe because of his position, he said, well, you know, somebody's got to be able to help this guy, but I'm a priest. I can't help him. Even though that was his job, to be an example to people and to help the people. But this priest decides he can't do anything. He doesn't want to do anything and passes by on the other side. Now, the third character we see in verse number 32, he says, and likewise a Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on him. That means he got closer. He got nearer than the priest did. He came upon that man. He got a little closer and said, that looks bad. And he passed around on the other side. But when you study the scriptures, the difference between maybe, you know, you don't know the priest and a Levite was someone who was chosen by God to give his life and service to God forever. That was what a Levite was. If you're born in a family of Levite, you were to serve God all your life. You didn't get part of the inheritance, other things that the other tribes got. You were a servant to the Lord for life. He saw what was needed, but he didn't do anything about it. He may have had the opportunity to. Maybe he had the ability to. He just didn't want to. He was supposed to serve. He was supposed to look out for other people. Yet he stopped short. I think maybe he probably thought about it. When he got there, he looked on him and he said, no. And he just left. He changed his mind. He said, well, there's really probably nothing in it for me on this at this point. It's just going to cost me a lot of time and money. I don't really think I'm going to do that. He was more interested in choosing how he was going to serve instead of accepting that all his service was necessary. You know, sometimes we get involved in the ministry and the work, serving God, which is there's no problem serving God. Unless we avoid the people and the problems that they have because we're serving God. We're supposed to help people while we're serving God. That's the whole purpose of service to God. God cares about people. And if we're so involved in the service of God, I can't help because I got to be up to church. You know, I got to go up to the church and I got to help clean, or I got to mow the grass, or I got things to do. I can't help you right now because that's going to mess my service up for the Lord. That's your service right there. God brought them your direction so you can help them right there at that moment. And you went around the other side because you're involved in the service of God. You didn't have time. And otherwise, we just missed the whole point of the service of God. So we see this man who is no one, that's left half dead. A priest comes by that could help, doesn't want to help. A Levite comes by, could help, doesn't want to help. Jesus picks this last character on purpose because he knew he was talking to. He was talking to a lawyer. He was talking to a Jew. He was talking to someone who had a lineage of a Jew. He was of a tribe of Judah, one of the tribes of Israel, and he had a bloodline that showed he was in the children of Abraham and so forth. And so in verse number 33, Jesus could have picked anybody. But he says, but a certain Samaritan. And we talked about this, I think, last week. A Samaritan was an outcast. A Samaritan was a half-breed. A Samaritan wasn't all Jew. A Samaritan was not to be talked to. A Samaritan was not to be contacted. You were not to go through Samaria. They had a town for themselves for a reason. They were outcasts. They were supposed to live over there. Don't come over here. And we're worried about the prejudices we got today when they've been around for thousands and thousands of years. A Samaritan, you couldn't even talk to a Samaritan, much less have a Samaritan talk to you. And can you imagine that guy that was apparently a Jew because he was coming from Jerusalem going to Judea, doesn't say who he is, he's probably a Jew. He's laying there half dead, just about to die. He looks up and sees a Samaritan. Oh, don't touch me. Don't touch me. You're a Samaritan. But Jesus brings a Samaritan on purpose. He says, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, that means he had some place he had to go to. He wasn't just wandering around town with nothing to do. He had a place he was going. He was on a journey, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. That was the difference between the other characters. This outcast, this undesirable, this person people would refuse, is the one that had compassion. Should have been a Levite, should have been a priest, but they didn't have compassion. They had the law. The Samaritans didn't have the law, but this guy had compassion. He gave him help. He cared for them. He was merciful. He shows us here you know, he's the type of Christ. Because as he's journeyed, he came to where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, poured in oil and wine, and set on his own beast, brought him to an inn. That means he had to stop his journey, stop what he was doing, care for this man, give up his own possessions of oil and wine, put him in his own beast, which means he had to walk now. He couldn't ride. And he brought him to another town and brought him out of his way, put him in an inn, took care of him. And then on the morrow, he gave that man, that owner, inn 2 pence, which is 2 days' wages. You figure out how much you make every day, and you take 2 days' wages, and you're just going to give it to a stranger and say, look, whatever he needs while I'm gone, here's enough to take care of his needs. It would have been enough maybe for him just to bound up his wounds and say, you feeling okay now? I got you. Are you feeling better now? You'll make it the rest of your journey. I still got to go. No, he puts him on his beast, and he brings him to an inn and then checks him in and pays for his room and gives extra money just in case it's needed while he's gone. You know, this lawyer had a lot to learn. He knew what the Bible said. The Bible says you need to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind. That's true. And the second commandment Jesus gave was to love your neighbor as yourself. That's true. But Jesus knew this man's heart. He just wanted to justify himself because he knew what the law said, but he wasn't living the law. You can know what this Bible says, but you need to live the Word of God. That means we got to put it in practice. That means we got to be like Jesus and care for people. Not only care from a distance, but do something. It might cost you some time. It might cost you some effort. It may cost you a ride downtown. It may cost you something and mess up your schedule for that day. But God brought you there for a reason. He brought you to cross paths for that person for a reason. And God wants you to meet that need. Otherwise, you'd have brought somebody else that way. It's never by coincidence when you're serving God. It's always a reason. We ought to look at the circumstances we're in and think, man, it's always a reason. And when I look at this guy's life, this man, it's so easy for me to put me as that person and saying in that scriptures, and a certain man named Rudy, a certain man named Ed, a certain man named Tony, a certain man named Joe. You can put your name in that and find out, you know, what did Jesus do for you? He came where you were. When you read that thing about the Samaritan, it says he journeyed and came where he was. Jesus came where you were. He knew you needed salvation. I didn't know I needed it, but Jesus knew I needed salvation. And he came to me. He came where I was. I didn't go to him. He came to me. And it tells him here that when he came to him and when he saw him, aren't you glad Jesus sees your condition? He knows your heart. He knows you need salvation. He knows how to bring it to you. He saw you. He comes to you. He delivers it to you. And it's up to you to receive it. He saw you. He came your way. And he had compassion on him. I'm so glad Jesus had compassion on me. He could have saw me, came my way, and said, that's a mess. And just go around the other side. I guarantee your life was a mess before you met Jesus too. Jesus, I told you last week in another mess, Jesus takes that mess and makes a miracle. He knows how to do that. He came to me. He saw my condition. He had compassion. You know, that man, when I read him here, just describes my life. That certain man, we went down to Jerusalem, fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment. That means he was naked. He was wounded, left half dead. Satan destroys lives every single moment, every day. He leaves people naked, destroyed, messed up, half dead. And nobody wants to mess with them and say, man, you're a mess. Yeah, I don't want to deal with you. I'm not going to help you out. You need more than what I can give you. Jesus comes your way, sees the need, has compassion on you, like that demoniac, and clothes you and puts you in your right mind. And all of a sudden you see yourself at the feet of Jesus saying, Lord, I'll go wherever you want me to go. That's what God wants. He just wants you to thank him for what he's done for you. He's the only one that ever had compassion on you. He's the only one that ever met your every need. He saw you naked and he clothed you. He saw you in need and he bound up your wounds. He poured that oil and wine of righteousness in your wounds. He took care of you. He put you in the right place. He gave everything he had for you and said, I love this last verse. Thou, in verse number 35, if you spend more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Jesus is coming back. Amen. He put us up in the right place. He bound all our wounds. He took of every situation of care that we ever had. Left us the Holy Spirit and said, here, use this. And when I come back, I'll be with you forever. He's coming back. I'm so thankful that I found a neighbor that would labor for me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Ask God to help us this morning.